Ja, gute Woche. We are in Shara Bitochen, Bezos Hashem, Perek Shvi. And here, the Chavis HaBavis is tying up the issue of Bitochen. So we've been seeing, the Chavis HaBavis is telling us, is kind of like bringing out summing up Bitochen for us from the negative angle, meaning what are the things that go against Bitochen? And we saw a few points. The one that he was discussing now is when a person, and this is so relevant, when a person works with superficial cause and effect, meaning why, if a person sees why, wondering why is he struggling with parnassa right now? Well, it's because my last boss fired me. That's why I'm struggling with parnassa. And the Chavos HaVavos has been telling us to understand that no, you always have to see beyond the immediate cause and effect, because on the contrary, as we've been discussing, even in the very material sense, usually the closer the cause to you, the less powerful it is, right? Last week we gave the mashal of the guy who found the job in the classifieds, and we asked, who gave him the job? Was it the delivery boy or was it the boss of the company? So the boss of the company is very indirect, right? Delivery boy is the direct cause of the job. And yet we say the delivery boy really was a very small piece here, even though he brought it to your doorstep, because you knock him out of the way, there's plenty others. You knock the newspaper out of the way, there are others. It's in the material sense, it goes back to the boss, but he wants us to understand, meaning the boss who put the ad into the paper. But the Chavos HaVavos wants to understand that no, that boss also is just one of any candidate that Hashem could have chosen, because he really decided, I have parnasa for this Jew, I'm going to put it with this employer now, with this CEO. And this is what he wants us to understand. Look past the immediate cause and effect. Don't get caught up with that superficial issue. And that is really one of the subtler problems with following the media too much, with following the news too much. I stress too much because people want to know what's going on. And you can keep up to date with what's happening. But when people really get into reading all the editorials and all the opinions and all the what you're really exposing yourself to, yeah, I'm not even getting into the bigger problems of secular media, but I'm getting into one of the more refined problems. What you're exposing yourself to, the more you involve yourself in all the different articles and angles and statements of current events, of what's going on in the world news, you're exposing yourself to a torrent of this, a torrent of the superficial cause and effect. It's because of this, it's because of that, it's because of everything, except you'll never see a paper say that it's because Hashem decided that this was a Klal Yisrael has to be challenged with, and here's why. So now, you've been putting us through an exercise with this, and we'll continue on that exercise. He said, look at the child when the child is born. The child is born, he has his life under control. Capable. Why? Because there is a breast that feeds him. And he knows how to access that breast. So what else does he need? He's all set up in life. And he gives a little yell. It's an automatic system. Give a little yell and it's there. And that's how you activate the system. And he has it all worked out. And he knows that he has this here. That's where his source of care is from. And that's that. Gets a little bit older. I don't know, how long does it take? Does it take a month, 2 months? I don't know exactly. And he says, oh, there's actually a mother behind it, right? Oh, and he starts seeing how his mother is his life. And then he gets a little older. He says, oh, there's actually a father on the scene. Father is holding the home in place, etc. Then he grows a little older and he sees, actually, my father has his limitations and there are all kinds of other things that need to be put into the picture in order for me to get what I need. And at the same time, he starts discovering his own abilities. Starts discovering his own abilities. So His mother a little receded to the side, and then his father starts receding to the side, and his own abilities start moving into play, and he starts discovering other sources of income. There's a stock market out there. There are other things that I can see as my source of income. And now here's where the Chovas HaLevavos starts breaking it down. So he says as follows: Vim Yitochin, that's where we're in the middle of Perek Shvi, Vim Yitochin, exactly halfway through. It's exactly, it might be 48% or 52% through. Im Yitochin lo tarpa zulosim min abris. Now, when a person reaches a situation where he starts seeing that, okay, there's somebody else who I need in my life, a boss, okay? I need my employer.
Bottom of page 466 in the Palatine.
466 in the in Feldheim, the English
At the
edition.
bottom.
466 at the
The
bottom.
bottom
Thank you.
paragraph.
466. V'mitochen lo talpai al yedei zulose min abris. When he starts seeing that, okay, I see that my source of parnasa comes from Mr. Employer. Yoshi b'tchone aleim. Okay, so I rely on him. He knows what he's doing. He's going to keep his business afloat. I have my place in the company, right? V'tanoach nafsho aleim. I feel secure in my job with my employer. Shetechzak hakarosle. Then when his growing, his understanding matures a bit more. V'yireh chesroinam v'tzorkem alaboyer yisborach. And he sees how, you know what? My employer also needs Hashem. What do you know? Why? Because he's growing in the company, and now he's actually involved in some of his employer's, discussions and ins and outs. He sees that his employer is very worried about a certain competitor who's moving on to the scene. So he says, "Oh, what do you know? We might actually need Siyata Dishmaya here." So Yashiv Bitchoina Elav, V'Yismaychalav. He's explaining a growth process here. Be'inyanim she'en lo. So he says as follows. There's the area of the company that's still in our hands. He's already second to the employer, okay? Now there's this competitor who's threatening. So he says, now he starts thinking like this. So we need Hashem to keep the competitor at bay. We still will continue generating the success of the company. But so that I'm still holding on to, okay, right? The company producing its products and doing everything it needs to be doing. That we have covered. We just discovered an area that we have to relegate to Hashem. What do we have to relegate to Hashem? We have to relegate to Hashem that this competitor should decide that Wisconsin is a better place for his business. Okay, so or he discovers other areas in life where again he needs Hashem. So right, my job I have in my hands, that's fine. I don't need Hashem's help with that. I need his help to keep the competitor at bay. And you know what? Also, suddenly he discovers that, hey, you know what? If I suddenly get knocked out with a virus for 3 weeks, there's not much my boss can do about that. So, I discovered another area where I actually need Hashem in my life. I'm prone to this winter sickness. And you know what? I need Hashem for that too. So again, there's the areas in my life that I have my hold on. I don't have to let go of those. There's one area and another area. I don't want to burden Hashem too much, but I try to keep it limited. Most things I keep on top of myself, but there are other areas that I have to put on Hashem. Okay. Now I'm saying it in a funny way, but this is really a very legitimate growth process. This is a person growing through growing in his realization. Or the examples that he gives, Kamayuridas Hagshomim. Alazria, right? This person is a very capable farmer and he has great land, etc. But at the end of the day, the one thing that has to leave up to Hashem is that the rain should come when he needs it. Valichas also, I'm a very capable businessman. I'm a merchant. I'm talking in older times, right? Earlier times. I'm a very capable merchant. I know exactly who's what and what's in which city. But the scary sea voyage, where if a storm comes, all the business ability doesn't help. So again, there, that's one of the areas that I need Hashem to cover. Also, there are all kinds of other areas where I see my security can be shaken. What we call, right, acts of God. You have areas that can be threatened by tidal waves. You have areas that can be threatened by epidemics, etc. These are areas where me, with all my abilities, I can't control that. So it's another area where I need Hashem in the picture. There are the areas where a person recognizes there's nothing anybody can do about that. That is up to Hashem. Like the pasuk says, when they're actually facing that sorrow, then they say to Hashem, "Oh, help us." Up to them, they say, "Hashem, I'm fine. You know, worry about the people who need it." Okay. Now we go a bit further. Now, if this brings him to recognize Hashem's involvement in his life more, right? We want this. This is a growth process. He sees the area, right? We said the competitor. That's not in his hands. He's not going to shoot the guy. Other people would, but he doesn't consider that a legitimate form of ishtadlus. But he sees that, you know what? Miraculously, Hashem made the competitor invest in some other field, and Baruch Hashem, the competitor is doing great in a different field, and he's doing great. They say, okay, Hashem is starting to see more of Hashem's involvement in his care. Okay, so now yiftach boy gam came b'mashi yitochin b'loy boy k'tzas tachmi. So he grows also in his own understanding of Hashem's involvement in his life. They say, from the areas that I have no control, now I'm starting to understand that there are areas in my life where I have some control, but I don't fully control it. Let's say I have a job that's a little dangerous, has its dangers. So I have that job and I'm pretty good at it and everything should be fine, but I understand that even in this job, I need Hashem to be helping me out within the job. Or there are areas that are very difficult labors, very difficult jobs. So, well, let's say, you know, I can plan a whole business strategy and I'm good at it. I'm not. But we're talking about somebody else, right? I can plan a whole business strategy and I'm good at it. And, but I do see how, you know, it's like iffy. It's not like, you know, a job, just have that salary, it's coming in, I don't have to worry about it. I have a very good plan. I hope it'll work. But I do see that even the things that are in my hands, I need Hashem for. I need Hashem, A, to help us succeed, but B, which is really before A, I should be able to figure out all the different angles. I should think of everything. I see how there are pieces here that I could miss. And therefore, even in the things that I'm going forward and I'm involved in, and I do feel that I have a handle on them, I sense how, even in those areas, I need Hashem. Okay, so, right, we're following the growth. It went from, there are the areas that I see I have no control, to, there are the areas that, no, I do have control, but I see how I need Hashem involved too.
So is that a proper conception that you have any control, like the areas that are not Yiras Shamayim? Or is, I mean, because it's the next one he says, I don't know if I see a jump between one, the next one and this one. I mean, you have to do ishtadlus. Is control
right.
Ishtadlus or
no.
He's saying it's not?
So we're still in the middle of the process here. The answer is that at the end of the day, he wants to lead us to a place where we do the ishtadlus without a sense of control. That we understand I need to be doing this as in going through the motions, as we learned in the subject of ishtadlus, as in going through ishtadlus, but even the areas that I do control are not my control, right? Such as lifting your hand. You know that you don't lift your hand. It's a message from the brain. All you do is send a message from the brain. Your hand you have no control over. You send a message from the brain, and then there's a system that makes your hand go up. Right? This is, even I know this level of science. Which is, if we take it in this vein, it's all part of bringing home the point that look how much you need Hashem involved in everything. Right? You decide, you send the message from the brain, and now you rely on the nervous system. It's a whole system, it's a complex system. You rely on the nervous system to actually make your hand move based on the brain's message. So here, this is where he wants to get us to. that the areas that you really are absolutely in your control, I feel that no, this is all Hashem. So let's see. So as his recognition of Hashem's involvement, his realization of Hashem's involvement grows even more, Yashiv bitchoine elov bekol hasibus, hakasha mehen ve'akal. He starts realizing how actually everything, if I want food, there are the harder parts of it. Harder parts of it is running the business. And then there are the easier parts of it. The easier parts of it is taking something out of the fridge and eating it, right? He gets to the level where he feels Hashem's control even in that. You know, there's a halacha. Okay, wait, I'll just finish the sentence. Oh, but he's not letting go, right? He's still supposed to do his ishtadlis. Yes, he's doing his efforts. He's doing his efforts both in terms of building the business and in terms of running the business and in terms of going to get something from the fridge. Like the Chavos HaLevavos said earlier, if you wouldn't believe in ishtadlis, then you should just sit at the table. Even when the plate is in front of you, don't lift up the food. That's ishtadlis. Just wait for it to get into your body by itself. No, we do lift up the food, right? Just like we lift up the food, we go to buy it. And just like we go to buy it, we work to get the money to buy it. But it's all with that sense that it says Hashem giving me the ability. Hashem is giving me what he has in mind for me. And I'm going through the motions that he wants me to do. And as we discussed, so why do I have to be doing this ishtadlis? What should you be thinking when you're doing the ishtadlis? When you're busy with the business or when you're cooking a meal, don't think I am generating food for myself, but rather think I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do. Hashem wants me to be involved in this ishtadlis. Why am I doing this ishtadlis? Why are you doing a job? Why are you doing your job? Why are you going to work? The reason I'm going to work is, well, I have to bring home food. No, it's because Hashem said, I have money ready for you. Here's what I want you to do. Hashem, you want me to do it? I'm going to do it. And then, as he said earlier, you actually get schar for the work. You're cooperating with Hashem's plan. There's actually halacha. I should say it's actually a directive of the Zohar that a person should daven before every meal, daven for food. That sounds surprising, davening for food. The food's on the counter. Oh, it's all part of bringing home that realization that you need to. I remember when I was in yeshiva, when I was in Mir back in the day, and things were less organized then than they were now. So it was actually a lot of, as I got up from the Mesmedrash to go down for lunch, there really was, you could actually feel the need to daven that I should get a full lunch, right? And so it was actually a very, very good training. It was a very good training. I usually got it. But it was a very good exercise. But you go further. And yeah, as I sit down to eat the supper that's already there, I say, Hashem, help me get my nourishment. And then eat the supper. It's a reminder of the fact that it's all really Hashem. The Gemara would bring this out in another way. They used to say this in Kelm. You think about the magnitude of the bracha of Amitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz. So you have to think of the farmer. The farmer who spent a whole year now, plowing in the winter and backbreaking work, plowing and planting and watering and cultivating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? Finally, after the whole, and the harvesting and everything, finally, after the whole process, the first steaming loaf of bread is coming out of the oven and the aroma fills the room. And this is the product of all these months of effort. And what does he have to say? Hashem brings bread out of the ground. 1 minute, where was I the last 12 months? No, but that's exactly the point, to be able to do that. What was I doing for the last 12 months? I was cooperating with Hashem's plan. I was being Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. That's actually, Mr. Muir recommends, people do this, say Mizmor LeDavid before every meal. It's a short Mizmor. You have Mizmor LeDavid that you say at Shal HaShutis, so you say it before every meal. It takes about a minute and a half. But the Mishabura says how this is basically a cum of that halacha, your declaration to Hashem, you are taking care of me, right? That's basically the theme of that whole Mizmor. You're taking care of me. Look, I'm sitting down for lunch now. Hashem, you're taking care of me. Mizmor LeDavid. Now, v'kasha techza kakarosa yisa mizeh. So now, where do you go from there? Now, Zoe, I see that whatever's going on in my life, this is Hashem. Are there war levels? Does it get higher? And the answer is he wants to take us higher. If you, once you sense that, how everything that's going on in your life, it's Hashem doing for you. So now, as you sense that much more, bechemlas habore el bluv, how much Hashem is caring for you, this is what we discussed, right? Back at the beginning of this parak, we said that one of the obstacles to bitachon is not having experience with Hashem, meaning you never really saw Hashem involved in your life. You know that in Olam Haba, he's going to reward you for being such a good person. But here in this world, I haven't really encountered him. So this is what, you know, the Chavis HaLogos is trying to train us into this, which is really the premise for bitachon, of seeing how busy Hashem is with you all the time and everything that he's doing for you. You can feel Hashem in every breath if you appreciate the complexity of a breath. But like we said, the movement of a hand, etc. The Beruch HaMavavit said, if we would appreciate, if we really be thinking of everything involved, if you eat a meal, of the food getting where it needs to get, and everything going right, he said you'd write a letter home every time afterwards saying, everything's okay, right? Everything's okay. Just then the mail would be even slower than it is now. So, after you experience this, and you see quite how caring Hashem is of you, he wants to take it to another level. What's that level? You reach a point where you say, wow, okay, so Hashem, you take so much care of me that it's overwhelming. It's way beyond my ability. If so, I understand that you are looking out for me to the ultimate level, and therefore, if you tell me now I have something else in mind for you, I want it. I'll embrace it. Beliboy bilshayna, with your heart and with your mouth. Benireo benistari, inside and outside, you'll openly express and also feel on the inside. Now that I've experienced Hashem in my life, whatever he sends my way, I'm ready to embrace. This is where he's going. This is where he's going. This is where he's going. Let's see. What's that? Well, we're not talking about anticipating in advance. What we are saying is that Hashem will sometimes tell us, yes, this is where I want you to get. To be able to get to a place, sometimes I have a vision that's bigger than yours. Just like a parent with a child. A parent with a child knows that his parent is half mean and half nice, right? Putting me to bed at 7:30 is completely unnecessary, right? And forget about shots and blood tests. That's one of the cruel areas of my mother's, you know, how do you say, mixed personality, right? She can be so nice at times and so cruel at others, making me sit down and do my homework. So there are a lot of things. And why can't I? I would do much better on a diet of, I don't want to tell you what, right? But she makes, you know, she forces down the cucumber before she lets me have, right? So, and Hashem will sometimes tell us, again, there's a bigger picture that you don't have. All you know right now is your body. You don't know about your neshama. You don't know about, you know, you can have a basic idea of what the next few decades is supposed to look like. Do you have any idea of what's supposed to be in place for you in 1,000 years from now? When you're past the stage of your body? So there are things that I need to be doing for you. And I want you to be able to embrace them with that same realization. After you've seen all the how I care for you, to be able to embrace those also with the understanding that it's coming from the same place. Now, again, is this easy? No, it's not.
Yeah, but you have the Imaos who davened and davened and davened for children for so many years, and then they got them, and Hashem wanted their prayers. So he sends you, Chas v'Shalom, he sends a person illness. They're not supposed to just lie down and say, oh, that's what Hashem wanted for me. They're supposed to say, I'm going to daven my heart out for something else. Now, to the end of the day, it doesn't work. You have to fall back on this
That's right.
acceptance, but it can't be the first
Oh,
thing
so
you
here we're getting
talk
into
to.
a fine line. So you're asking a good question. If we say that it's about embracing it, so then we just knock all tefillah out of the window, basically. All tefillah, because why should even be davening in the first place? Keep me healthy, give me parnassah. No, just sit back, whatever comes your way, that's exactly what's good for you. And you know what? This is a very classic question that was asked by the Rishonim already. Where does davening come in? Why, and why should it make a difference? If Hashem decided this is what needs to be, if it was good for me, Hashem would do it without my davening. And if not, then if it's not, if Hashem is doing it, it's good. And why would I want to change it? Where does tefillah come in, bichlal? That's a classic question that's discussed by the earliest of authorities.
We say she wants to be loved stuff. I'm not hearing that
Oh,
right.
don't these things actually do make change?
Yeah,
Don't
because
these
it goes
actually
on
make
with the other
changes?
way. Leah was
Oh.
supposed to marry Esau, and she down, so went over the other way. She married Yaakov.
Oh, so how does that work with acceptance? That's the question here. How does that work with acceptance? So there's a fine line here, and this is a tough balancing act, but it's not beyond us to be able to understand the way I used just to make it a simpler muscle to appreciate. I'll say it like this. Let's say a person has a terrible headache. Let's keep it simple, not to make it overwhelming. Headache is something we can live with, right? In the worst case, if we're told to, we'll just accept it and move on, right? Okay, fine. Now let's deal with it. Okay? Person has a very bad headache. So now's the dilemma. Here we have the Tylenols in front of you on the table. Okay, do I take it or do I accept it? What's the answer?
You can't take
Well, what about
it.
embracing? What about acceptance? Everyone is saying to take it, right? And the truth is, I also have Tylenol in my hand. Not Tylenol, the Israeli equivalent. But
Right.
what? So what about acceptance?
Okay, the report.
Oh, so does that mean that in those situations there's no acceptance?
No, if you take it, would you your status to take the Akamal and it doesn't work, then you accept you're supposed to have headache.
Oh, okay. So now let's take it even a step further. I mean, this is really obvious, but let's actually break it down because sometimes the obvious things aren't clear enough. Let's break it down a little more. I'm going to take that Tylenol, right? But again, I want to like really break it down in a simple way in order to get back to the more complex examples. I know that it takes half hour for it to kick in. So here's how you can mamash have acceptance and hishtadlus in the same place. Now I have a headache. I'm accepting that now. It doesn't mean that I have to sign on, say, Hashem, don't send me any refuahs. You know, this is good for me, right? No. I'm doing hishtadlus, davening to have the headache removed, while at the same time saying, now I'm not going to kick and scream and say, who needed this headache in the first place? This headache was good for me, perhaps only as a means of getting me to daven. And that I'm accepting. And now I'm going to daven. Now, if Hashem, if you decide I should have it for another day, then it'll go away. I'm embracing that other day. If you decide that the tefillah was meant to eliminate it immediately, here's my tefillah. So, or you take the Tylenol and I'm saying, okay, Hashem, it's going to take a half hour to kick in. That half hour I'm embracing. So it's not like I don't want this, therefore I'm taking the Tylenol. No, I'm taking the Tylenol because that's what Hashem would expect me to do. And I'm embracing that in the interim, this is very good for me. It's good for me to have the headache until the Tylenol kicks in. If the Tylenol doesn't kick in, then apparently it's good for me to have the headache a bit beyond that. So that's basically now you take it to the tougher areas. Sometimes the whole benefit of tzara is to get you to daven. And then Rashi actually says, it's not that, oh, so the purpose of the davening is to get me back to square one, get back to the place of before the tzara. No, the tzara brought you a very big benefit. The fact that you moved into the classic Jewish mindset and say, how do I respond to a tzara? Through davening. And not by, just stomping my feet. You've already grown. You've become bigger. And therefore, Rashi's lashon is, Mechabavin hatzaris kshenig. When a Jew goes through a tzara and then Hashem helps him out, the Jew says, wow, that was a good experience. I was zoichet to see Hashem in my life more. And therefore, retroactively, I'm embracing the tzara. And even if a person can do that at the time, to embrace it in real time and embrace where it takes me to. Now, sometimes it is set up such that you'll do your davening, it'll go away. You'll do your ishtavlis, it will go away. Sometimes Hashem says, it's actually better for you that this lasts for a longer time. Sometimes Hashem says, this is actually a part of your tafkid in this world to continue contending with this. When is it one? When is it the other? We don't know that. But if we can work with this formula, we can put it all together. Hashem, as long as you're giving it to me, I'm embracing it. And that does not preclude taking spiritual and material measures to try to alleviate it. It's possible to encompass it all. The two don't have to be a conflict. And I would like you to speak up if that wasn't clear, because this is very, very fundamental.
But he doesn't say that in here, does he?
What's that?
He doesn't give that in here. What he's saying, he doesn't give that at all.
That's right. He doesn't lay that down here, but he does lay down the whole concept of the ishtadlus. Uh-huh. And we do know that part of the concept of ishtadlus is, think both when it comes to health, when it comes to any area, right? Not just parnasa, do the ishtadlus. He told that to us earlier. And we have to work it into the picture here. Oh, so sometimes that's actually a part of it. That's right. Once the Chafetz Chaim said that once you bring Bilgulim into the picture, it makes things easier to theorize about. Again, we don't know exactly how these things work. But at least in theory, it makes things easier to theorize about. We don't really need it. We don't really need it. But it does make things easier to theorize about. If I understand that, did we say here the mashal the other week about the child who was born without arms?
Right.
I think we said that over, right. So that it makes it easier or to understand how there's a bigger picture. Things are being addressed in a broader kind of way than I can see here. But we don't even really need to come on to that. Once we realize that we're dealing with that, that we are essentially a neshama, and the neshama is so beyond what we feel as a body, but that's the real us, then also we understand how, yes, there are things that, again, the child has no need for that shot in the here and now. And he'll be able to come to his mother at the end of the day and tell her, see, it didn't help anything, right? Or the blood test, or whatever it is, right? But once we understand that when we're dealing with the neshama and its sensitivities are something that's so beyond us, but that's really who we are. That's really what we're going to be living for the next millions of years. And that the body has no idea of itself, just a tiny part of the picture. And that our whole life in this world, that's a Hashem, like we say, like we should all have 200 years. But even that is just a tiny little sliver. Mamish, it's even smaller than being in the mother's womb versus your whole life, right? And when it comes to being in the mother's womb, right, we would all be able to say, okay, it's a little more comfortable, a little less comfortable. If there's anything that needs to be done for the benefit of once the child is born, do it, right? That we all, anybody would say that. Because come on, you're talking about 9 months that are barely significant. But if it's going to affect, will make the fetus more uncomfortable now, more pain now, but then afterwards the quality of life afterwards will be much different, we'd all say do it. And the understanding that our little brief period in our bodies is even less than that relative to the real life that Hashem has ahead of us. So therefore, it goes on and says, and again, we're talking about high madregas, but that's why we're learning Chavis Havavis. The person can reach a level where he's actually happy about anything that Hashem does for him. Why happy? Meaning we're going from embracing, we're going from acceptance now to happy. But let's say you have, let's now talk about a patient, a mature patient, okay, an adult who's lying in a hospital bed, and lying there, knows that he has a condition. And all of a sudden, he starts hearing, you know, bells and sirens, and a whole medical team rushes through. He doesn't know what's going on. And nobody has a moment to tell him a word. And they're all getting all frenzy and busy with him, and he sees the tension on their face, and he says, what's going on? Nobody answered him. What do they call it, code blue or whatever it is. They have these different terms, right, of top emergency. And he senses that he doesn't know what's happening, you know, but something serious is happening. And everybody's yelling, can we get you know, Dr. Goldberg in here? Can we get Dr. Goldberg in? And then Dr. Goldberg comes flying in, and he gives the guy a slam on the chest. Oh, you know, terribly painful. And after that, Dr. Goldberg and everybody else says, oh. Right? So this guy whose chest is really aching now, he's going to actually feel relief. He's actually going to feel simcha when he sees the doctor go, you know, do that. Right? Well, when everybody was running around, he didn't actually even feel anything. Okay? He didn't feel any danger. He's feeling fine. He doesn't know why they're all frenzied, but he understands something serious is happening. And then the doctor comes in, slams him in some kind of way, or shocks or whatever it is, terribly painful. And then he sees everybody relax. So he says, oh, I'm glad Dr. Goldberg did that. Right? This is something we can all understand. This is where the Chavos HaLevavos wants to get us in terms of if suddenly Hashem comes and we suddenly experience, boom, Chas v'Shalom, we should be zeichet to see Hashem's chesed to us only in the open form. But there will be those booms to one extent or the other, and now we've been experiencing bigger ones. But he wants to get us to a place where a person experiences a boom and is able to experience that way. I don't know what that did for me. But if Hashem did it, then I'm glad it happened. Not pashut. Again, not pashut. No, don't take my passion as in, the boys, I'm here. Why aren't you all with me on board? No, this is much more about, like I said before, when it comes to Chavos HaLevavos, I'm not preaching what I practice. I'm preaching what we all want to be aspiring to together. This is what it's about. But this is what the Chavos HaLevavos, this is the bar that the Chavos HaLevavos is setting for us. Appreciate Hashem's absolute chesed. And therefore appreciate that anything that comes from him, it's not just about acceptance, but it's about appreciating that he just did an unbelievable chesed for you. How could that possibly be? I don't know. How would I know? I'm exposed to such a tiny piece of the picture. But I understand that itself. And therefore he says, me mothers, but sometimes it ends in death. How could that be chesed? Comes back to the idea that by the Jew, death is just another stage. It's just another stage. And he says, even with death, yimavis v'chaim, death and with life, reish v'oisha, poverty and wealth, brius v'choili, health and sickness, v'lo yichsoif l'zulas ma'ashabocha lo helikim. And he wants nothing other than what Hashem chooses for. Now again, this certainly doesn't mean that halavai, everything my neshama needs can come through a pleasant life. And yes, daven to Hashem for whatever it is you want. But with the understanding that at the end of the day, if this is what Hashem chose for me, I wouldn't want it any other way. Question.
Is there such a thing or an understanding that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has big things in mind? Okay? So these things have to happen. But some of us get trampled in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we weren't in that, you know, we're the little people, whatever, and what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing is for sure more important, whatever. But some of us get trampled. No, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reach every one of us. Let's hope, okay? Like you say, we have big things. But sometimes I'm guilty of thinking, like, yeah, there's a big one coming on, you know what I mean? But this thing, like, they got trampled. Like, you know, like they got the wrong deal, you know? So I'm like,
here's the question.
Should we all be confused like this? Like, I want to stop
listening.
But
here's the question. The question that's being asked here, and tell me if I'm understanding you right. We all understand that Hashem is dealing with a bigger picture. Maybe we're too small to even fit into that bigger picture. Maybe we're part of the collateral damage that, you know, Hashem is doing big things, and if some people have to go, some people have to go.
Exactly.
Every revolution involves, right? Every big things involve sacrifices. So let's appreciate something. First of all, if there is such a thing, and I'm saying that with a big if there is such a thing, The only one who could get trampled in that process is someone who put himself there. Meaning, there's such a thing as a person cutting himself out of Hashem's picture. But it's only something that a person does by choice. If a person is in Hashem's program, now, and that itself is something that requires qualification. But my first point is I want to kind of like move certain things out of the way in order to really get to the heart of the issue as far as we're concerned. If there is such a thing, it's only by a person moving himself out of Hashem's picture by choice. Okay? Meaning, there's such a thing as a person, Chazal tell us, certain things can make a person lose their chelik l'olam haba. Certain things can bring upon a person kares, etc., etc. And let's not deny that. Now, today's reality, even that is so much more complex because many just, when a person does it unknowingly and because he couldn't know better, he's not part of that equation. We're talking about a person who knew, had all the right chinuch, was in the right place, wasn't pushed away, and decides, you know what, I just prefer the good life here and I don't really care about the next world. That person can move himself out of the picture and he could be trampled in the process. Perhaps. Okay? But now let's take it to the next step. Outside of that, is there such a thing as a person who is living as a good Jew or as an unknowing Jew? Okay? And gets trampled in the process? And to that, the answer is an unequivocal no. There is absolutely no such thing. And this is something we have to appreciate. A person is not changed. If we would appreciate what Chazal tell us, that Chayav Kol Adam Loima, every single individual Jew has to have the understanding that Bishvili Nivra Olam, meaning that Hashem, as me as an individual, would have created the whole system for me. Sometimes we think that there's a whole universe out there and there's a whole history and I'm a tiny little cog in the picture. That's actually not true. The neshama, the individual neshama, is bigger than the universe. And
what about collective punishment for a generation? So how does
okay,
that
we'll touch on that too. The neshama is bigger than any of these other systems. All these other systems are there for the neshama. Okay, now, if so, why do we see people, yes, dying in some of these processes? Right? Or we know that there's such a thing as a collective punishment for a generation, etc. So here we come back to a point that we discussed earlier in other times. And that is that part of the process for the individual neshama could be ch being chosen to serve as, in the olam hazeh sense, this person got trampled in the process. Or let's say it differently, this person was chosen to be a korban toward Hashem's bigger picture. But where does that put the person? Where does that put the person? Does that mean that in the bigger picture, in terms of his neshama, so he's fallen on the wayside? It means exactly the opposite. It means that this person, when you're talking about the Ulama neshamas, is in the most elite group. So what you see in this world as the people who are trampled in the process, when you're talking about Hashem's plan with the Jewish people, when we talk about 6 million people, when we talk about the thousands of people who were killed in the Crusades and in the riots after the Black Death and in the Tachvetat, and there's so many nameless people that would just hear numbers. And so many nameless people, you think they were just part of the collateral damage of Hashem's plan for the Jewish people? That's in the material sense. But every one of those people is actually in the most elite select circle there in the Olam HaEmes. We don't have time now, but if you remind me next week, we'll start by talking about what some of those people actually said. Wasserman probably said this here in the past. The speech that he gave to the people with him when they were about to be shot by the Nazis. One person survived and actually recorded the whole thing. We have it. So that's the understanding. Is there such a thing as people getting trampled in the process? In the material sense, it'll play out that way. And yes, we saw innocent people died. And now we're talking about how we're supposed to grow from it. But what about them? The answer is that they were shot straight up. Hashem said, I chose you to move my Klal Yisrael forward, to move my Klal Yisrael up. And therefore, you go to a shining select place in the bigger picture of things, in terms of the eternal plan. So we've addressed the question. Really, it deserves a lot more elaboration, but that's that for now.
Thank you.
So if someone reminds me, I will forget if no one reminds me. Not that I might, but if someone reminds me, we'll start with that next week. We know.
Is there a printout?
Yeah. Yes, but not in English. It appears. Yeah. There, I can send you to the sources.
Let's show on.
Sorry, just give me a moment.